views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Welcome to the first episode of Blacks in Business Radio of the year 2018. How's everybody doing today? I am one of your hosts, Cece Harry, and I am joined by my co-host, Brother Robert 11X Minor. Robert, are you there?
I am here, Cece, and yes, I'm excited about our first 2018 BIB broadcast. It is, to say the least, a blessing.
It is a blessing, that it is. It's kind of starting off a little interesting if we really want to go by the weather. Man, it's just cold everywhere in the United States. Even down in Florida, they're having some really, really bad weather. So we pray for everybody's safety in these times. We know that you should always be prepared. Like Dave says, always prepared, never scared, always prepared. Something like that. I haven't listened in a while, but yeah. We definitely need to make sure. That's a shame. Lord have mercy. We need to make sure that we are prepared for these situations. I mean, people, you need to really stock up on water. I know here in St. Louis, there's been a lot of water main break. I'm not used to that. I mean, there's just some things that I'm not used to now being in the Midwest that I didn't really see living in the West. I mean, a lot of water main breaks. People have really, really had to go without. And you would think that the city would do something about that during the summertime, you know, just kind of prepare. I don't know what they need to do to make the water mains not break, but you would think that they would dig these things up and do what they need to do, but a lot of suffering. And as I look out my window, I see a lot of homeless people in the cold. It's been very frigid here. I mean, below zero temperatures. I think we got below, 4, 5, 6, something like that. We got really low, you know, and the homeless people, they always need something. You know, a lot of people look at them and want to say, oh, they're on drugs, oh, they're crazy, oh, they're this or that. I don't care what they are. They're people. It's cold outside. What can you do to lend a hand? I mean, you know, it's cold. It is so cold. It's cold. I just can't even put into words how cold it is. And I'm from Alaska. It's cold. people say that to me all the time. You from Alaska, you shouldn't be that cold. Well, cold is kind of relative to me. If it's 2 degrees or 22 degrees or 2 below, what, it's all cold. I mean, and there's people actually outside. They don't have anywhere to go. They are under a blanket or a tent, or some of them are just walking around to try to stay warm. I mean, it's just really, really, really sad to me. You know, while we are so worried about getting some money and doing all these things, you know, it's time to really reflect. You know, we talk about all these resolutions, but it's really time to reflect and just be thankful for whatever it is that you do have. I mean, because there are so many people that don't even have an ounce of what you have. And we really complain and we really, really, really strive for this thing that we call success. When you're successful, if you just made it through yesterday, for real, because it's just too much going on in this world right now. But as I see these homeless people, I'm really, really wanting to do something for them. I know that, you know, I know that the police or whoever, they like to stop people from helping the homeless, but
And it's kind of a, has become kind of a central.
I do apologize. You were talking about the homeless people and
somebody else is talking about something. What is that?
Yeah, that was Elliot Davis. I'm trying to mute him. But he was talking as well about the homeless people. They have a giant bus and food downtown for the homeless people.
A bus? You talking about in St. Louis?
Yes, ma'am. Elliot Davis is from Fox 2 News. And he's,
oh, that bald guy. Going,
yeah, he goes live. And he's also known for the segment You Paid For It, and he gets all up in people's business when it comes to defending the taxpayers' dollars. But right now he's actually downtown. As you were speaking about the homeless downtown, he's actually downtown right now with a bus, and they're downtown feeding the homeless.
Bless his heart. Man, I wish I was down there. That's crazy. Just as we're talking about it, he's down there doing it. Because it's cold. I mean, it is just, this is ridiculous. And you think about all of the issues that we talk about concerning the LRA property, all these buildings that are abandoned around here. You know, people are going in these buildings and they're trying to live and they make these fires and stuff and they end up setting the place on fire because they're just trying to stay warm. And there is no reason for all this nonsense going on to where people don't have a place to live. There's so much, you know, they're worried about building the next ballpark village or stadium. I just don't understand that. I don't get it. How is it that money can be funneled into something so meaningless, but life is just abandoned? You know, they're just not thinking about life. I don't know. It just really does something to me. I look at this city and I see beyond downtown, like where it's so prosperous, you know, but then I look at these other areas, like in the city, within the city, it's ridiculous, you know, and I don't know, but I'm going to have to come up with something, really, something, my own.
You know, I'm actually following the story as we are on the radio, and the restaurants from downtown St. Louis have come together and donated food for the homeless people. And, you know, that's usually something that you don't really see happening a lot.
Right.
Because a lot of these places are afraid of the liability factor that goes into it. So
yep.
A lot of times you see these grocery stores and these restaurants, mm-hmm. they would take food that could be eaten and mm-hmm. they would throw it away instead of giving it away.
That is so true, because I was talking to somebody about that just yesterday. I mean, because this homeless thing has been on my mind. I mean, I'm always concerned with, you know, and I haven't seen any children and mothers out there right now, but I know they're out there. But, you know, the Bible says we'll always have the poor with us, you know, and it just is so much more that needs to be done. The one old guy in this apartment that was talking to me, he said that out of the blue, he just rambled off. He said, you know, and the place that they have the homeless people go into downtown, like if they're homeless or whatever, they said they'd rather be on the street than go there because there's so much crime in there and people doing this and doing that. He was like naming off all the issues or whatever. And I'm like, wow, okay. That's pretty sad. You know, there is a place for people to go, but they don't feel safe. So they'd rather be out in the frigid cold. That's really sad. But I mean, I just,
yeah.
You all need to think about that. You know, we talk about business here, but this is a business. It's business taking care of other people. You have to turn your humanitarian button on. I mean, it should be on at all times. I mean, that's how you get your blessings anyway. I mean, I don't really think about that, but that is really what sustains your life, is how you bless other people. You know, that right. is just scriptural, that is spiritual, that is the way things need to go. You know, you have got to think about how you can reach out to help other people.
And see, we have to expand what we consider business traditionally, what that is to us. I mean, because I always say, if you handle money in your house, you're handling business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those are business transactions, taking care of bills. So even going out and dealing with the homeless, if you're going out dealing with the homeless and you're taking cash out of your pocket to go and buy food or stocks or whatever that you could be using to help someone with, that is still taking care of business. And because business is not all profitable, you know what I'm saying? But there's many different ways to profit from it. You know, you can profit from it on a monetary level, and you could profit from it from a spiritual level as well. And being charitable is about the best reward that you can possibly get when you can help somebody that's in these type of conditions right now. You know how you feel when your feet get cold and you're not exposed to the elements the way that the homeless people are. Imagine
Wait,
how they feel right
cold
now.
And you in your car, like if your heat went off in your car, you know you cold then. So imagine somebody outside with no type of covering at all. You know, again, you got to be thankful. At least you have a car. I mean, they're outside walking around. Oh, man, I don't even want to think about it. You know, and you know, like we've dealt with a few little bugs that have tried to come on us, you know. So imagine if you didn't have a warm place to go, but you're sick and you're coughing and you have a headache and all kind of stuff going on. Imagine.
Right.
I mean, just imagine it. Wow. Well, I don't know. I think that, you know, I don't really care about the law as far as like feeding people. I think you can figure out a way to get around that, some kind of way to do it. I mean, obviously they're down there doing it. Some kind of way, there is a way to feed people. I mean, personally, I don't want to be a clanging cymbal. I don't want to be somebody that's announcing that I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I really don't want to do that. I just want to go ahead and do it. I mean, I'm not looking for notoriety. It's just something that needs to be done. I mean, and if you are in a community, well, I mean, everybody's in a position to help. But if you have some clothing that is warm and you can donate it to somebody, do that. Just go ahead and do that. If you have some extra blankets or whatever, go ahead and do that. If you got some extra bread and mayonnaise and cheese or whatever, I mean, that's really not good food, but it's, you know, it'll get them through. Go ahead and do that. Make sure that you donate to people, you know. And something that was laid on my heart, this was in Seattle, you know, because I would have to go to these cleaning jobs for my cleaning business. They would be like 1 hour and 20 minutes away, so I would drive, and when I would get off the exits, I would see these people, and it's like, wow, you think that you should give them money or whatever, but you know, it was just laid on my heart. What do you have in your car that they could use? You know, sometimes it's an umbrella. Sometimes it's my lunch. Sometimes it's a bottle of water. Sometimes it is $5. But what's on my heart is what I have in my car is what they need, you know. So everybody can be charitable. And again, it's not to be a clanging cymbal to say, oh, I did this and I did that. And, you know, to puff your own self up. Your reward will not be there then when you're doing all that. It's just not going to happen. Your reward is when you do what you need to do secretly and quietly and privately. I mean, there's a way to do things. I'm not saying you can't collaborate with people and make an organization. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying how you get become a bragger because you help somebody or whatever. Don't do it. Don't do it like that. Don't do it for that reason. But yeah, everybody should be looking as we have entered into these frigid temperatures. I mean, I'm looking around the country, everybody cold. But as we look into these frigid temperatures, people need to make sure they're reaching out the best way that they can. I mean, you know, just go outside of yourself a little bit and help people. But anyway, let's get on to the show. Didn't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but it is part of business. We got to talk about it. Especially our people out there. You see our people out there? Oh, you need to be helping them, for real. I'm so serious. But today, yeah, it is. It's just, man, it's cold. I can't say it enough. So today's show, we will be in the presence of Mr. Stefan West. I actually got a chance to speak with him. I think he came on our show when we were dealing with the alderman election. That's where I met him, and he decided he wanted to come on the show. So I was like, oh, cool. But let's read his little bio here, thing that I have not little, his big bio. I want to say little. The Black Wall Street Challenge is an internet-based challenge inspired by the legendary town of Greenwood in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We travel the country recording ourselves shopping with Black-owned businesses, and then we challenge that business to patronize another Black-owned business. The goal is to raise awareness of the importance of supporting local Black-owned businesses in our respective communities while also attacking problems like unemployment, crime, and other neighborhood issues. And they invite you to subscribe to the channel Black Wall Street Challenge on YouTube. You can follow them at Black Wall Street Challenge. Let's see. I think something messed up there. And at Black Wall. Okay. We're going to post this on Facebook because it's not just exact. It's not saying Black Wall Street. It's just kind of like initialing a little bit. But we'll make sure we put that out there. But definitely join us now as we speak to Mr. Stephon West. I believe we have him here. And let me see here. And he says he will be calling from a 314 number. I know he's calling from a 314 number because he's from St. Louis, but so is everybody else. So let me look. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. Okay, muted. Robert, you're there. This must be eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Who do we have on the line with us?
How you doing? Stephon West. How you doing?
Oh, I picked the right one. Oh, good. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, we are both great. Happy to have you on. We are excited that you have taken the steps in recognizing Black business. So why don't you go ahead and tell us some more about yourself and the business?
Well, I mean, basically, we just, it started as a hobby that it was a hobby and we just continue to do it. And we just want people to understand the importance of, you know, shopping with Black businesses and the benefit. Like you said, I heard you talking earlier. You were talking about, well, during my bio, saying that we met during a previous campaign.
Mm-hmm.
That was worth. And that was the goal then, and it's still the goal, is just to let people understand the importance of shopping Black and keeping their money in the neighborhood, which helps with the taxes. Can you keep their tax dollars there? You create jobs in that area because, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, you're more likely to get a job by a person that looks like you. I mean, it's just real. I mean, it's just, you're more likely to hire a person in a lot of situations. And if you mm-hmm. can keep all that in the neighborhood, that helps the schools. I mean, you got to look around a lot of the neighborhoods. We got a lot of schools shut down in the city, you know, because the money is leaving. People aren't, you know, you don't have those mom and pop spots on the corner that are, you know, being like pillars in the community and the neighborhood, you know, and we just don't have that, and we don't have that awareness as much. And I feel like it was something that was needed. So I just got up and did it.
Wow. Okay. So what is it that you do outside of this business?
Well, outside of this, I do a lot. Actually, I've worked different campaigns. I've worked different ballot initiatives. I worked really hard on that Prop B, which was the body camera issue, and even the Prop A a while back for combining the election, city and the county. I mean, I've done a lot of issues in the city because I live in the city. I live in the city most of my life.
Do you live in Baden? Where do you live?
Well, I live downtown currently. I've lived downtown probably around 10 years now, close to 10 years or so. But prior to that, I'm actually from, I grew up in Walnut Park and in Country Club Hills. So between those two areas.
Okay. Okay. So in growing up in those areas, have you seen both growth in Black businesses and decline?
I have seen some growth. It just depends on the st- store. But a lot of times, like, for instance, even with what we've done around the city of St. Louis, I've noticed that we've done businesses in the – we've been doing this for 2 years and, like, actually recording these places and, you know, keeping record of, you know, and going back and visiting them. And some, you know, some of the places we've visited are, aren't even around anymore, you know, because you'll get a black business in the neighborhood or in an area. We'll support it for a second, but we don't, you know, we don't do our best. We don't, you know, I feel like the neighborhood at the same time has to do better, and each of us as a person has to do better in actually physically, like, consciously deciding where we spend our dollar, you know, because in the effect of our dollar. So I feel like it, I don't know, I feel like in St. Louis there are a lot of businesses, but I feel like they go out, you get new ones, you know, there's a, it kind of balances out, I guess. I don't know.
Robert, what do you think about what he's talking about, the businesses closing because there's no support? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was gonna question, when you go in, you know, what type of barometer do you have, knowledge-wise, that when you see these businesses, that you can gauge whether they're operating from a knowledge point advantage or not? Because if like myself, 2015, I went into some of the roughest areas in North St. Louis, St. Louis County, as well as East St. Louis. And what I discovered was, in those really rough areas, black entrepreneurs didn't show up as much. But what I did see was a lot of Arabs, especially, and I'm going to say, in the convenience store sector. And I saw so many Arab stores in our communities and in the worst part of our communities. So a lot of the times we choose not to do business in the worst part of the community because we have become afraid of one another. And this allows room for, you know, Arabs or, you know, any other group of people to come right in and set up shop and extract the gold, the prize out of the community, which is the money. You know, they extract that right out of the community and do nothing for the community. Now, but...
Well, let me ask you, Robert, let me ask you real quick. Don't you think that fear is substantiated, though? When you deal with all of the crime that we have to deal with in our communities, don't you think that people have a right to be fearful? I wouldn't say they have a right to necessarily abandon everything, but don't they have a right to be fearful of the surroundings?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of a right to be afraid. I mean, I think it's definitely more a lack of knowledge of self. You know, I think that has more to do with anything than anything else. It's a lack of knowledge of self. And I say that.
What do you mean because, by that? What do you mean by that?
Well, when you don't know who you are in terms of your position with the creator of this whole universe and heaven and earth, when you don't know your position, your kindred to the creator and the attributes of him, then you fear for your life. When you go into a business only going into it to extract the money out of the community and not put nothing back, then maybe you may want to be a little concerned with it, because there's no real love for the people in that. It's only love for the dollar. Now, as black people, I'm speaking about, because we're different. We see each other differently. Okay? And we'll go to the Arabs and we'll give the Arabs a smile. We're paying an extra 15, 20 cents on something. But when we come to each other, we come to each other with a frown, just trying to pay, just breaking even. You know what I'm saying? So the thing about when you know us as a black business person, when you know our pain and our suffering, that's one advantage of doing business with us, because you can identify with that brother, that sister that's coming in with that chip on their shoulder and they upset. So as a business person, how do you deal with that person with that chip on their shoulder? You don't deal with them the same way that they come in. You deal with them out of love. What kind of love? How do you show love to that? Well, when you, again, when you identify who you are in relationship to who the creator of the heavens and the earth is, and why we have been put in this position, then you deal with them dealing with the pain, understanding the pain and suffering of them. And so when you speak to them, it's like you're speaking words of healing to them without even going into it. It's just the mannerism of how you deal with them that identify something's different about how this particular brother or sister is dealing with me. They're patient with me. They're not upset. They're not giving me that mean mug back. I'm giving them the mean mug, but they're not giving me the mean mug back. He's steady saying, yes, sir. She's steady saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, to me. And even as I'm being ignorant, I'm walking out the door, and they say, have a great day, my brother or sister. So,
well, what if, you know, I hear what you're saying, but what if I'm not trying to deal with, I'm not trying to be a psychologist or psychiatrist, open my business, and I want to support my people. But if I'm worried about vandalism in the neighborhood, because I see it happening all the time, I'm worried about people not supporting me because I see it happen all the time. I mean, I'm just really not sure how to move forward. Now, I'm not talking about me because I'm in it every day. But I'm just talking about people who, you know, like we listen to the Advice Show. That guy has a show on YouTube. It's the Advice Show. And he says it all the time. Yeah, of course we up and leave out the neighborhood. I don't recommend, I mean, I'm very much so paraphrasing, so if the Advice Show guy is listening, but he says, you know, of course I'm going to leave the neighborhood. Why do I want to sit around with a bunch of, what do you call them, hood rat hyenas, and, you know, all these names that he uses when he's describing what he would consider like the derelict people, you know. He says, of course I'm not going to be in the neighborhood. I mean, we have many people like that that, you know, are not interested in doing business because they are, you know, fearing the worst of what we see.
But see, the thing with that is, see, it's those same people that he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
That language that he used is not a language of love. It's not a language of love.
Definitely not.
That's so that language, see, when he go into the hood, he probably got his defenses up. And he don't understand. He may understand it, but he's not really knowing how to speak into the problem with a solution type language. And that language doesn't necessarily have to be verbal. That language can be very much physical, you know, along with verbal. But, and I'm speaking this because I'm a bearer of witness of what I'm saying. I've been in the black community over 24 years in retail. 2001 I gave up my guns. Now, why did I do that? Now, for most who despise the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, for most who have something ill to say about Minister Farrakhan, they've never been through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, so they really don't know how to do what I'm saying do. In that classroom that they have in the Nation of Islam, they teach you and I, man and woman, how to do just what I'm just saying, how to identify with your own pain and suffering from the transatlantic slave trade on up to current time. Now, everybody that's black has suffered from that. Now, when you learn to identify with that within yourself, when you know yourself first, now you are more equipped to go out into the hood and deal with Lil Pookie, because you was once Lil Pookie. But now you have been taught about why you moved a certain way. You were conditioned and trained to think a certain way and move a certain way. So once you learned the conditioning and training that made you into a nigga, you got a new way of thinking, a new lesson, a new understanding on how not to be a nigga. And now you can go into the hood and speak right into the pain and suffering of Lil Pookie and whoever else, you see. But if you don't have the training to be able to look at man, see, this is the unique thing about these teachings, and I talk about this to people. When you don't see your brother as a god, when I look at the next black man and I see God, I don't see a nigger. I don't see a devil, a beast. I see the potential of God in the next man. So that makes it a little harder for me to want to just shoot you and kill you.
Well, you talking, I don't want to do that to you. Serious undoing psychologically. I mean, really. I mean, I get what you're saying.
I can bear witness, though. See, again, what I'm saying, I bear witness to it because I'm living it up until this day. Not just something I'm talking, something I said I believe, something I bear witness and I know, and something that I'm living to this day. And every community that I've been in, I went into where black people are, and not middle class, poor black people. And I've done just what I said I've done. Just what I'm saying, that that the problem that's happening with black people going into business is one, they don't know who they are. Two, they don't have the correct information to stay in the business. So if you go in the black community and you're scared, you don't need to be there being in business, because a dog can sense fear. It's just the nature of a man. He can sense your fear when you come into the environment.
Well, let's ask Stefan. Stefan, we definitely need to bring you back in the conversation. But yeah. Have you ever gone to these business owners, or have you had a chance to go back to the ones that you previously interviewed that you found closed down and ask them, you know, really intimately, like, what really happened? You know, was this a poor business choice? Was it money? Were people not supporting you? You know, have you been able to really do that type of thing?
Yeah, I think it's a multitude of those. It's actually all of those. But I do want to touch up on what you were saying about going into these places and then, like, different neighborhoods and stuff like that. So I have done a lot of community work in every ward in the city with a team of people for the last couple of years. And like he said, if you're scared to go over there, you shouldn't be over there. But I feel like we got to give ourselves a little bit more credit too these days, because there are a lot of small little businesses that are around and people that are trying in those communities that are from those communities that don't want to get money and move to the county. They want to stay right in their neighborhood. And there are a ton of those people in St. Louis, and I feel like we got to give those people credit, because just canvassing and talking to people door to door, I mean, even that, like, I would run into guys and I would see a group of guys walking up the street, everybody got hoodies on, and sit there and talk about a ballot initiative that they knew more about than I knew.
Wow.
So we got to start really, really opening up to each other, and it all starts with communication. One thing I do is I ambush businesses. A lot of these businesses, I get a lead on them, and I just come up and, you know, show up with a camera, and, you know, and I just say, this is what we want to do. Is you know, are you down or not? And they, some are with it, some aren't. But the thing is I don't have any fear when it comes to my people. I love my people. You know what I'm saying? I love all people as well. So I don't really get off into all that other stuff, because what we do is for everybody to do. We want your dollars if you any color. We just want people to focus on black businesses and us as a people just being more conscious about where we spend our money. So I love my people. I don't have any fear of them. I go in any neighborhood in St. Louis, on any block, talk about any issue. I will go to any business and spend money, you know, and I don't always, you know, I can't always spend with black businesses all the time. But, you know, even when I go into, I know business owners that aren't black. I just have a rapport with a lot of business owners in St. Louis, period. But they even understand what I'm doing. You know, it's bigger than that. It's just more so about being one of those people that's actually willing to go out there. Forget what everybody says negative about the neighborhood. Forget what everybody says that's negative about our people. Just go do what you're going to do. Don't worry about nobody else, because, like I was saying, I am a believer in a higher power, and I feel like if you're on a path to whatever you're trying to do and it's coming wholeheartedly from the heart, you know, the universe will work its way for you. You know, so I'm definitely in the hood. I don't care where we got to go, any neighborhood, we there.
Okay. Well, so do you just stay inside St. Louis, or do you go out?
We've been in over 10 cities across the country, from D.C.
Okay.
D.C., Oakland, Kansas City, Chicago, Indianapolis, Nashville, Atlanta. We had to, of course, go to Tulsa, the original Black Wall Street. We got the shop on Greenwood and Archer. We got the shop on the last remaining black businesses in that area. We were just out in D.C. a couple months ago. We went to the African American History Museum out there, the Smithsonian. We did get to shoot a couple of businesses out there as well. And we got to even get some footage on the inside. They rolled out the red carpet for us. We met one of the curators out while we were filming at another black business. And he was loving what we were doing, and he just, you know, it's a wait to get in that place. He just, like, straight let us get in and film and everything, gave us the grand tour of the place. We only had, like, a couple hours before our flight back to St. Louis, so we just, like, did what we could do. But, I mean, we've been all over. Our YouTube channel has all of every city we've been in. So we've got about over 80 videos up, and they're from, like, all different areas. We've even shot a lot in St. Louis. We shot Alton, Fairview Heights, Chicago. I mean, all kind of places. We're supposed to go to Little Rock in a couple weeks and a couple other cities after that. We're going to start our tour back up. So we're going to be back out. We're trying to get 10 more cities this year.
Okay. So are you looking to, or do you, let me ask, do you profit in any way from this?
Well, I don't, actually. I fund everything, not financially, but I do profit, spiritually,
okay,
mentally, emotionally. You know,
it's the love. I get it.
Coming up in the time I came up in out in St. Louis, I mean, and being, you know, beating the odds, I'm 39 years old. I just turned 39 on Black Friday this year. We did a big thing on that. I'm going to drop that video this weekend. But my birth, that's what I was saying, the universe makes no mistake. My born day was actually on Black Friday after I've been doing this a couple of years, and that was a big thing. And so I don't profit in any way. I fund everything, and, you know, somehow it works.
Right. That's just how we do it. I mean, when it's a passion of yours, you find a way and a way finds you. That's what I truly believe. That's wonderful. So what are your next big plans? Because I see that you, in your picture, you're with Dr. Boyce Watkins. Are you looking to collaborate with like We Buy Black or any of these other places that have done things like yourself?
I'm looking to collaborate with anybody that's doing what we're doing. Anybody. I mean, it's just what it is. I'm open to collaborate with anybody. I that picture with Dr. Boyce Watkins was a picture that was taken at Economic Empowerment a couple years ago when we first started. We were actually, we shot a Black Wall Street challenge at the Lux, and that's what we did. We patronized this Economic Empowerment event. And we got to meet Dr. Boyce Watkins, David Banner, and then a couple other people, you know, that were in the building. Brother Roosevelt Mitchell III, he wrote a good book about the Black curriculum in schools. And, you know, and he actually wrote a couple of good books about, you know, the school system and stuff like that for the youth. So we got to, you know, we were networking. Like then, it was just like something told me to go there. You know, I was already doing it, and then that came up, and it was like we have to be there. And I knew the owner to the Lux at the time, and I mean, all that stuff kind of worked out, and I got to meet, you know, all those other people. So,
Wow. Go ahead.
And then I am happy to say he actually follows me, so he follows our movement, and he likes things from now and then, let me know he's watching. So, thank you. Big up, Dr. Boyce.
Right. Well, I'm looking at Roosevelt Mitchell III, and it looks like St. Louis Public Radio had him on This American Life. It says, St. Louis teacher and author Roosevelt Mitchell III wants to make disability cool. Well, I would love to have him on the show because, I mean, that's my thing is education, young children. And, you know, if we start educating our children early, I mean, the right education, then we have a fighting chance to build strong families because, you know, there's just been such a depletion in our families. I mean, there are some strong families out there. But yeah. So, I mean, that would be really good to get him on.
I want to get him on here for you because I actually just saw that brother. I see him all the time. I just saw him last week, a couple of days ago. So I see him all the time. We follow each other as well. It would be no problem. I'll just email you his information or his, you know, vice versa, however we got to do that. I'd love to get him on.
Well, definitely. Yeah. And we most definitely have to have you come down to interview Brother Robert. I mean, he's been interviewed a couple times, you know, at the Grand Slam Marketplace at 2505 Chambers Road, where he specializes in the 5-gallon buckets of laundry detergent and general merchandise. Yeah, definitely have to have you come down. Make sure you join him on Facebook.
Okay, I think I've heard of him as well. Yeah. Right there on the flea market right there.
Yep. The Grand Slam Marketplace. Mm-hmm.
I want to ask the brother to share with the audience again. I don't know if I missed it or not. What is the Black Wall Street Challenge?
Okay, so basically, what we do is we find a business, we go inside the business, we spend money with the business, and then we challenge that business to go spend money with another Black business. So that's the whole gist of the challenge. And they're supposed to tag us in it and that kind of stuff, but that's how it works. It's basically an internet challenge we designed for us to keep challenging other businesses to spend with other Black businesses.
Well, I think that we should really, 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 we should really promote this. Like, it should be on radio. We would love to put the Black Wall Street Challenge on radio. We'd love to do a commercial. And how about if we did, like, a monthly, like, drawing? Like, if they can prove that they spend with a Black business or, like, you know, prove that they spent with a Black business, we have a monthly drawing on air. You know, we should create a whole commercial, you know, for that. And we should also include online businesses because there are a lot of Black people doing business online, not just brick and mortar. We need to reach out to those people too.
I agree. I'm actually I'm actually trying to attend school, and I'm thinking of learning how to do that stuff so I could provide another service for the business. You know, help them.
Okay. What are you going to school for?
Well, I'm trying to get into like a coding school.
Oh, okay.
A coding and web development school. What I want to do is I want to go to these businesses and also be able to help them, you know, some of these smaller businesses with that kind of online stuff and website stuff and, you know, things of that nature. Because some of the businesses don't have, they don't have a Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook page. So, you know, just, you know, this, a lot of them don't even have web pages. You know, we go into a lot of businesses where we spend cash and they just don't have that stuff. So.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, you could start from now. You could go to school for it. It's good, of course, to sharpen your skills. But like you said, there's a lot of people that do not have that going on and they could use your help right now. Just setting up a Facebook page. I mean, I've seen people. Oh, I went to this beautiful business the other day. I mean, I didn't even know it was there. It was beautiful. Don't ask me what it was called. I don't even know where I was, but I have to get the information so you can go over there. But it was a boutique and it was some older ladies. And I mean, they're really struggling to be in the now, you know. Yeah. I mean, if this business was like in the 60s, they'd be cool, you know, because people would know where they are and this and that. But people don't, I didn't know where this business was, and I love clothes, so that's a problem. But I went in there, and they're older ladies, beautiful, beautiful clothing. I mean, let's see, what would we call it? Like older women wear leisure wear, cruise wear, and then formal, and like I said, church clothing. I mean, they have a beautiful setup, beautiful building. And my first question is always, you know, who's handling your social media? Well, I mean, there's a lot of answers from well, I don't do social media, and then somebody else is doing it and they don't know what's going on. I mean, it's just like a bunch of answers. So they don't have anybody handling that. If you have an online boutique, or not an online, if you have a boutique, it should definitely be online. I mean, you should at least have a couple of pieces on the internet. And they didn't have that visibility. So I told them, I said, I will help you. I will help you for free. I will help you. And they were like, just so lost with the whole thing. They just don't understand the importance of it. So if that's something that you're looking to get into, I mean, I would say like really totally put together some kind of iPad presentation so you can help people, because I mean, they are so far gone as far as like really understanding the importance of your business being visible online. Robert actually was talking about that yesterday. What were you saying, Robert, about, you know, people kind of being hustlers, but then they fell out of the game because they didn't understand the importance of social media?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, when I first started in business, you know, we were in the streets. You saw us on King's Highway and Page at the check cashing place, or at the check cashing place on Grand, and we would be out there selling our oils and T-shirts and this, that, and the other. And so you had two things that really, really eliminated that type of hustle. The two things, one was technology, you know, because that was like in 94, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, up in that time we was doing it, making damn good money. But what most of the guys who at that time, I just started hustling with them, but these guys have been career hustlers. I mean, this is what they've done all their life. And the thing that took them out was they did not make the transition with the technology. And so, you know, I'm a few years younger than a lot of guys I'm talking about. But as I saw this computer thing really starting, this internet thing starting to pick up, and then, you know, Facebook come along, you know, one thing that I knew, that coming from the streets, you know, if you was a criminal or you did criminal things, I knew that you had to link yourself to technology. You know, and that's what you needed to know, technology, in order to make it even further with whatever it is that you're doing. And so one of the things that I did, I just started operating on a computer. I would do flyers. I would take a criminal's mindset and go to the computer and use just have the mindset of it. If I was committing crime, how would I commit crime with a computer? You know, and so that was the driving force for me to learn how to do what I needed to get done on the blue, on the paper side of things. You know, creating your flyers, creating your whatever forms that you needed to create. You know, but these other guys that I know, they didn't do that, so they stayed primitive. Yeah, they stayed making money, but as time grew, it kept knocking them a little bit further and further out of the game. It's just like the CDs, what the CDs did to the cassette tape. You know, it wasn't an overnight transition from a cassette to a CD. But as time grew and grew and grew, the CDs really pushed the thing, the cassettes, to where they were not necessary anymore. And then digital started doing the same thing with the CD. Now, the CD still exists, but not like it used to, because now people are digitally downloading stuff to the iPod. So you have to remain current with this technology, you know, as it pertains to doing business, because if you don't, you're going to be doing primitive style business, and it's going to make you irrelevant. You're not going to reach people the way you need to reach people. The old-fashioned way of doing things is just what it is. It's the old-fashioned way, and it's not always what's going to make you succeed. It's definitely not. You're not going to win doing it the old-fashioned way in this technology world. So, I mean, yeah, that's what we were talking about yesterday. We just had this conversation.
Yeah,
a lot of times people just don't. Older people, and the thing about it is just so few people, black people, that are really going into business as it is anyway. It's not enough of us going into business, and those that do go into business are not utilizing the technology at hand. I have people ask me some of the most simplest questions in dealing with the computer, and I'm like, man, wow.
Like what? But entertain us. Like what?
Man, I mean, it's like, okay, for instance, I got a call just the other day from a guy. And he was like questioning me about my location. Can you tell me how to get there? I said, no, sir. I will send you the information in a text, and you can use Google. And he was like,
what?
No, actually, he was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I sure could. And so for him not to even think of that, you tell me, if I asked you what's your address, I don't need you to explain to me how to get there. Just give me your address, because Google gonna get me there.
Well, you're right, because actually I had somebody say that to me the other day. They told me that I could follow them to the address, and I said, I don't need to follow you to the address, just text the address to me. He was like, oh, yeah, I guess I could do that. And I'm like, yeah, why would I need to follow you to the address? That's like such a dinosaur way of doing things. But I think there's a cap somewhere where just people, you know, don't kind of keep going. And then when you actually do see them keep going, you're like, wow, okay, well, this person definitely understands.
Right.
Oh. Yeah, and I fear the day that I'm like that, you know, because I always say, wow, I remember, you know, looking at older people stuck in a certain music era, you know, it's like, how can they not like this music now or whatever? But I'm in that area right now. It's like, okay, the 90s was everything. This music today is nothing, you know. So it's kind of the same thing. People just kind of get stuck somewhere unless they have somebody gently leading them on into the next phase of information, you know. But if they have this mentality, because I always talk about you should know your learning style, you know, kinesthetic, tactile, audio, auditory, visual, whatever. How is it that you learn? But if you have been told that you were dumb, stupid, what did Les Brown say? What is that word he uses? Something retarded.
Ineducable.
I never heard of that until he said it. Ineducable. If you've been told these terms, which a lot of us have been told in public school, then you just really shut off learning. Something that doesn't just flow into your brain naturally or that you've been doing forever, you just kind of shut it off. So when speaking about technology and older people and getting them out of this old way of doing things, you just have to be really gentle in teaching them, you know, because I'm teaching an 88-year-old person how to, you know, do some things on the phone, and it's amazing. She totally can learn. So, I mean, you just have to be patient with the people.
When you got a willing participant, that makes it a whole lot different.
She is so willing. I'm telling you, we went to the store today and I said something. I said, well, I don't eat that. She said, well, if you don't eat it, then I don't eat it either.
There you go.
I was cracking up. Yeah, she totally is like up on it, you know. And, you know, for those, I mean, we are just kind of deviating around. We still have our guest here. I know he's like, what are they talking about? But we just kind of, we having fun on the first show of the year, people. So just follow us, okay? But yeah, I mean, you just have to be gentle with them. You know, if you have, and this could be a charity right here that you do. Help an older person or help a business get online, like Stefan was saying. Help them get online. Help them get their business going. You know, volunteer to help them be on Facebook. Take them to the Apple store. Let them learn, you know, how their phone works. Let them sit around with a bunch of people just like them that need to know how things work. Definitely a charitable service to have. I mean, I was talking to my sister today, and it was funny because she was like, you don't know how to do a PowerPoint? I was like, no. I don't. I mean, I learned it. I took a class about 7 years ago, but I could not tell you how to enter things into the cell or whatever you have to do like I had to do back. I do not remember how to do a PowerPoint. So when she let me know it was so easy for her, I was like, oh, okay, good, you know. But instead of her doing it for me, what I need to be doing is learning it myself, because I know that in 2018, there's a lot of things that I've let go by the wayside, you know, and I'm starting to become an older person by the way that I'm thinking, because I'm telling you, usually I'd be on it, but I'm seeing there's a lot of things that I need to do. I need a little hand holding myself. So, you know, I should be able to help somebody else so I can get help, the help that I need. But again, we're just kind of deviating around. We're going to have a commercial break in a little while, but I just want to invite everybody. I promise we're more on point, you know, usually every single week. But yeah, we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on blacktalkradionetwork.com. And blacktalkradionetwork.com has a lot of different radio programming dealing with our people, and I think you would be quite interested if you just turn it on there and just listen. That's what I used to do before I was a part of this network. I used to just turn it on there and just listen, you know, and I'd hear Scotty ranting and raving about something, and then I'd hear something else going on, and then I'd hear the program repeat, and, you know, pretty soon I felt like I was part of the network before I was part of the network. So, I mean, I kind of spoke that thing into existence, really. And if you have the desire to be on radio, Black Talk Radio Network can definitely offer you a space, okay? So if you'd like to get more information about that, go to blacktalkmediaproject.org and look up the information, okay? But we will be back after these messages, and we'll talk to our guest again. We'll let him, you know, talk. I don't know what we're doing, but we'll talk again in a minute.
Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, everybody. We're back on the second hour of the first show of 2018. I am one of your hosts, Cece Harry. I'm joined by Brother Robert 11X, and we are joined today by Stefan West. And we are going to talk to him more because, you know, this show is just kind of a freestyle show, and it's okay. It's all right. We can do that sometimes. If you would like to join us by talking to us about what it is that we're talking about, feel free to do so. You can call us at 1-866-510-9025. And we have another number, 704-802-5056. You just press **, and we will let you right in to talk to us or our guests. If you have the desire to have your business be interviewed by Blacks in Business Radio, we are happy to do so. Just reach out to us. Our email address is weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. If you would like to listen to our archive shows, we have been on the air for 2 years now. Woohoo! If you would like to listen to our archive shows, go to Black Talk Radio Network and look up BIB Radio. That's B as in boy, I, B as in boy, radio. Look us up and just listen to some of our other shows, our old shows, the archive ones. You know, get out your pad and paper because we offer lots of information on helping you, the Black person in business or the Black person that would like to be in business. We have lots of information there for you, and we are here to help you. We offer consultation also. So if you need help, consultation in your business, consultation on starting a business, reach out to us. Again, our email address is weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. We would love to support you and what it is you're doing. If you're local to the St. Louis area, feel free to come visit us at 2505 Chambers Road, the Grand Slam Marketplace. We are there every day except for Monday and Tuesday. We are there Wednesday at 11 to 7, Thursday 11 to 7, Friday 11 to 7, Saturday 9 to 7, Sunday from 11 to 6. So you can reach out to us in all those different ways. Come visit us. Come buy from us. Shop Black. Buy Black. That's what we're talking about today. So let's bring on Mr. West again. Because he's just sitting back probably wondering, like, what in the world? What kind of show did I enter in? I don't know if you have to go or not. I mean, you can stay with us if you want to. We're at the top of the hour. We got 1 hour left. We definitely want to make sure that you get to talk about everything that your business is doing.
Yeah, I definitely want to hang out with you. I'm pretty open. But
well, that's good.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got something, brother, that you, I don't know if you've been to the marketplace at Grand Slam Marketplace, but when you talk about a place where you wanna go and find Black businesses, and this place here has over 140 Black vendors in the building. Okay. Now, a lot of people, you know, don't want to come to the flea market because of the word flea market or whatever. They think that this is going to be low quality merchandise and this, that, and other. It's a lot of Black people that's expressing the God-given talent as well as the ability to go to manufacturers and bring merchandise in and sell to the public. So there's a lot of entrepreneurs down there that need support. Where else can you go in St. Louis and find in one spot over 140 Black entrepreneurs? It's not going to happen.
Right.
Grant, that right there is where the focus should be. I mean, if we're talking about doing anything with Black businesses, that's a great start right there.
Okay, well, funny story is, well, not really a funny story, but you said that I agree with you 100%, my brother, to the point to where, like I said about the universe, the very, very first Black Wall Street challenge that I ever did was with a young brother by the name of Knox the Jeweler that has a vendor booth inside of that market. So I know he that was the very first. It's not even, it's so primitive on our playlist to where it's not even an actual video. It's on my playlist of the channel. But that was the very, very first Black Wall Street challenge that I ever did was in that place. So I totally get it. I totally feel you on that. It's a hustle. It's just a hustler's haven up in there. And, you know, that's in Caseville. Hustle without saying STL. So you know how that goes. So I went right there first. Went there first, as a matter of fact. So that's interesting. And that's real that you said that, because I know where you're coming from, my brother, because I know a lot of those guys with that same spirit. And that's kind of what really inspired me to do this, because one thing I can say about St. Louis, it's such a competitive city to the point to where everybody got to hustle. Everybody's hustling. And like I say, you can't spell hustle without putting STL in it. So that's part of the inspiration why I really wanted to showcase business owners and entrepreneurs and people that had that spirit, because I come from that spirit because my family is entrepreneurs. And I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but at the same time, I have so many friends that are entrepreneurs. So I want to help people help each other. I want to help us, you know, all win. Like, that's my goal. I want to show love to as many hustlers as I can. And I want as many, because that is, to me, those are the people that I showcase. People I love, you know, I'm not into, you know, I love sports, but I don't follow sports. I follow business people. That's my main drive in life, and that's why this all kind of works for me naturally, and it's more of a passion thing, because most people that know me know I know a ton of businessmen in this city. I know a ton of them. Anywhere I go, I have a rapport with. I'm the type of person where I want to know the person who sweep the floor all the way to the person who own the place, because that's just how I was raised, and you got to treat those people all with the same respect as well. Which is another thing I do. So that's why we go into a lot of places. A lot of times I get negative feedback from my people, which I hate, because we so hard on each other. We are just so hard. We set the bar so high when we go into these places, and we expect so much and do so little. And then we, you know, and I just love showing love. Like, I don't have that kind of mentality. I go in there and I want you to win. So that's why we do this. I go, a lot of the places that we've done are places that I just love. I love the food, or I love the vibe, or I love, you know, the whole business model of it. So that's how it started with me. Like, I love hustlers. I just love it. It's in me.
I can respect that, bro. I totally understand what you're saying. I always referred to myself as a hustler's hustler. You know, because I'm here to make sure you win, you know.
Yeah.
And see, and in that statement I just made, when I say I'm here to make sure you win, see, a lot of Black entrepreneurs don't do the necessary homework to stay relevant in business, you know. And when I say relevant, I mean price-wise. I mean, product-wise, you know what I'm saying? And on the service side of things as well. Now, when you go into these different businesses, mm-hmm. See, white folk, when you go into a professional Macy's, for instance, now, for the most part, those type of establishments should be giving you the best quality service possible. When you go into a Bellagio or a Wynn Resorts, you expect the best service that you ever gonna get in your life. Now, I expect that from black people. I expect the same thing from black people. I expect for a business to want to represent themselves in that manner, because I represent myself in that manner. I want to give you the best shopping experience that you ever had coming from a black person. That's my goal in business. Not that I'm gonna kiss your ass or anything like that, but it is my goal to make sure when you walk through my door that you are impressed. I want to look at your face, and your face is going to tell me, wow, I didn't think this was going to be like this. Man, everything's nice and neat, and it's clean, and it's orderly, and the people that's in here working, they're very cordial to you. That's what I expect from black businesses, brother.
And you know this, I'm going to add this in. The problem that we have as business owners, I don't have a problem, but as business owners, what I see is you tend to treat everybody the same. You can't treat everybody the same. You know, like people say, oh, I treat all my children the same, I love them the same. You cannot treat all the customers the same. You have to gauge that customer when they come through your door. Right. What is it that they need from you? What type of conversation do they need from you? Do they need to laugh? Do they need to hurry up? Do they need guidance? Mm-hmm. Are they crazy? You know, what is it that they need from you? You have to be able to figure that out as soon as they walk through your door. And that's my goal.
That seems like that can be a hard task at times. And that's another reason why I want to showcase you business owners, because it is hard to stay in business, and it's hard to compete with those places like Macy's and those other places where you expect that top-notch service that you would ever get in your life. So that's why, another reason why I do what I do, because I see people, if I come into your establishment, I'm also a good customer as well. So I don't expect the best service, but when I get the best service, like, you're going to know, because I'm going to frequent your place. And I'm going to do anything I can do to show, like, for instance, I go to a place called Sweetheart.
Oh, we love Sweetheart.
Right.
I go there so much because of the fact that the food is always good, but the service is always impeccable. It's always.
Wait, do you get that one girl that smiles? What, the black girl? Oh my goodness!
I know.
What is her name?
Pretty most of the staff that work at the front know me because I go in there. I eat there like a lot, like probably three, four times a week type stuff. So I'm in there.
Wow.
I be there for the church basement plate that they have. She'll have a fried cauliflower and then black eyed peas, and I think she does like greens and cornbread and yams. Oh my goodness, amazing. And it's all vegan.
We don't know about that. We only have breakfast there. We don't know about nothing else but breakfast.
Right.
Look, so every Friday she does this special from like 4 to 8, but you got to get there sometimes early because the food is sell out. But we actually have something set up with them. We're gonna shoot. We got a big thing. We're gonna do with them, a little surprise. We're gonna put it out there later. But we're gonna do something with them. We got a project coming up soon with them, so it'll be interesting.
That's what's up. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, well, you should invite all the black business owners to that event. That would be great.
It would be, and she would love it. It's actually a cooking class that she does. So I'm a vegan as of last April. I became vegan, and I need more recipes, and I love the place, so it's like, why not learn from, you know, the place that I love, just to, you know, be able to, you know, work my way around my own kitchen at home.
Right. Well, we didn't know she did cooking classes. See, we just come in there, order, sit down, and eat, and rave over the biscuits.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to shoot a Black Wall Street challenge where I'm going to pay to take the class, and we're going to film some lucky people that want to participate, and we're going to just you know, help that word get out there, you know, because that's something I feel like should boom. You know, we have a lot of people that are becoming vegan these days and are trying to eat healthy and learn different ways of, you know, eating a lot of the foods that they, you know, feel like they can't have, but, you know, in a substitute form. So,
Now, let me ask you this. With what you're doing, do you have a plan to collaborate all of your filming that you've done and do a documentary?
Well, we're actually shooting a documentary as we film. So we are documenting these things. We just haven't really, you know, figured out when we want to be the stopping point at this point. See, we started 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years exactly. This has actually been under 2 years. On the February. So Black History Month started 2 years ago. We started to do this. So I feel like it was fitting to start it, to set it off then while people were in tune, you know, with that way of thinking. And we just kind of kept doing it since then. So we may, maybe around, you know, around that time, maybe wrap up some things. I don't know. So we're just still filming. So right now we're just playing it all by ear. This is all new to me. So, you know, this is just something that I've always had an interest in this. Just film, music. I mean, I've done all kind of, you know, you asked me earlier what I used to do or what I do, but I used to manage a local rapper. I've a guy named Averb. Averb is really booming. Big up to Averb. It's my guy. He's actually shared a couple of videos. He's a little battle rapper, well-known battle rapper around St. Louis. Worked for a magazine called Mad Flavor back in the day. And I've always, you know, had cameras and filmed and, you know, did that kind of stuff. So clothing line, I mean, I've always had that little artsy side to me. So it's just something that we're going to always do. So.
Okay, well, now let me ask you, how many people do you have helping you with your project?
Financially, none. But just far as work, I got a guy that when I was doing the music with Verb back in the day, a guy by the name of, he used to go by Seat Dog. He goes by CS Real now, but he has his own videography thing. He stopped rapping and started, he went to school for videography, and he's the guy, Real Vision Images. He does a lot of my film work and then like video work and my editing. So he does a lot of that. It's just me and him, really, right now. And then I got a manager, which is my cousin, Kiara Lewis, but he doesn't want to be on film right now.
Who are these people that don't want to be on film? It's like, I'll be trying to do a Facebook Live and they don't want to be on film. It's like, wait a minute.
you've actually talked to Kiara before, because she was actually the campaign manager. I was the assistant campaign manager. She was the manager of the campaign that we won.
Okay.
She does my math as well. So.
Okay. Robert, were you trying to say something?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, I thought I heard you piping in. Okay. Well, I definitely, you know, I don't think that there could be enough Black documentaries about, you know, what it is that we do, because sometimes we have to make each other aware of what is really going on, because it's so much poverty, so much sorrow, so much pain. And then you couple that with the news that's trying to make us look horrible. You know, we just really don't have a good outlook on what it is that we're doing as a people. And that's why we get so excited, you know, if something happens good to somebody on TV that we really shouldn't be celebrating. But, you know, we have to learn to celebrate locally, you know, and we have to teach our children to celebrate locally. We have to teach them to celebrate each other, really. And I think that as we begin to repair ourselves psychologically, because I think that's what a lot of these hardships are doing. A lot of this stuff that we're going through is kind of repairing us psychologically, because it's making us aware of what has really been going on for years, you know, and as we begin to do that, I think we'll start supporting each other more and more. So what you're doing is very important, and I would love to see it on the big screen. I would love to see your film at the Black Power Awards in Atlanta. Did you go there?
Didn't, but I would love to see it on film down there too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I went to the Black Power Awards a couple weeks back, and that was a very, very very powerful interaction with all these Black people. I mean, I just feel that way about Atlanta in general because of the group of people that kind of, you know, come together to make these different entrepreneurial endeavors happen. But I mean, as we group up with more like-minded people, we can do things like that. I mean, it just is very necessary and it's very possible. I mean, because like I said, it's just so much going on that looks wrong. We have to really just exploit what's right.
I agree. That's the goal.
You know, brother, another thing that hit my mind when you talk, you asked me, was I trying to chime in? I was in deep thought because when you say you was doing this documentary, you know, you can really do a great service to the entrepreneurs, because if you're going around and you're interviewing these different entrepreneurs, and I don't know if I've seen any documentary that is on that type of level of really dealing with the different Black businesses. But to add to that a twist where the documentary is really giving the Black entrepreneur insight to what can make them stay in business, aid them in business. The thought hit me to suggest to you that you should go to a trade show with your camera. And when you go to a trade show with your camera and you start documenting the interactions, especially if you follow me to a trade show, you really gonna get some interactions for real. You're gonna get a whole lot of information, questions that I ask these people that will definitely open your eyes, and the environment itself is going to open your eyes and answer a lot of the questions of why we don't succeed. When you go to these shows, you'll be able to see and hear why we have a hard time competing in the marketplace. You had mentioned earlier something about we are pricing, or something you said in reference to our pricing can't be we can't compete with Macy's or something. I think that's what you said after I made a comment about, you know, Macy's having that customer service or whatever. But I want to tell you that is so not the truth. Small business can do greater than compete with a big company like that because of this fact right here. A small business does not have the overhead cost of a Macy's. Macy's have to put a 200-300% markup on a product that they get from a manufacturer. They have to. That's why the prices are always high when you go into those places. They're in the mall. And now, a lot of those stores, those big draw stores like that, I recently found out that sometimes don't even have to pay rent because they are the main draw of the people. So the mall owners, which malls are now finna be extinct though, but at that time, mall owners would allow them to be there and they don't have to pay the rent space, but they still have the overhead of the electric and the gas and the insurance and the payroll, this, that, and the other. Small business does not have that expense. The challenge of small business is to get people through the door. Now, how do you get people through your door My partner used to always say it like this: sell it at a 30% markup and watch the people tear the door down. Now, that's a discipline that you have to have, and an understanding that you must come into as a small business owner. A person will say, well, why should I only want to make 30 cents on a dollar? The understanding of that, the lack of understanding of that, clearly says that a person does not understand finances. In America, there's nowhere that you can put a dollar and make 30 cents on it. There's no financial institution that you can do that with. So when you're dealing in businesses, you're mainly dealing in percentages, interest. What type of interest can the money make? That's what really drives business in America. But we come from the streets. We keep on going. We keep on using the street analogy. I'm gonna put a dollar, make a dollar on a dollar. Well, that's not gonna always appeal to the customer, because if your prices is just the same as the Arab or whoever else, then why would they come to you? But if you understand the mathematics that's behind what drives business, then that 30% on a dollar, I mean, and it's not, that's not like it's compounded yearly. That's like compounded daily or weekly or monthly. 30 cents constantly coming in on a dollar is good money. But we don't get that. We don't really get that. So my point again is this here. When you know to go to the manufacturer in the streets, when we were in the streets selling drugs or whatever, you know, it's just like that story, the movie American Gangster. That whole ideal of going directly to the manufacturer to get the drugs is still the ideal when you come out of that lifestyle and you go into business. The whole, that mathematical equation does not change none at all. It just, the product change. You take that same mathematical equation and put it over here, where now I'm going straight to the manufacturer of these bed sheets, the manufacturer of these TVs, or these, whatever it is, these clothes that you like. Now, what does that do? As a business owner, that assures you the best pricing possible. If I go to a wholesaler and buy my scrub caps, I may pay a dollar a scrub cap from the wholesaler. But if I go to the manufacturer and buy my scrub caps, I should be around 55 to 65 cents a scrub cap. That puts me in a position as a business owner to where I can even wholesale to people as well as retail. So now I'm selling that same dollar cap for $2 in the marketplace, which is a very fair return on it. But now I got it now for 65 cent tops. So that 35 cent may not sound like a lot of money. But if I sell 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 hats, that 35 cent becomes a lot of money. You see, so by us not understanding or not knowing the correct information that we need to know, it forces us out of business. It forces us out of business because we can't compete guessing in business. You have to have the correct information. And trade shows, dealing direct with the manufacturer, is a sure win for any small business. It puts you there. I can compete with Walmart. Matter of fact, every time we get a product in, the people that work with me, they know, get your phone out, Google this product at Walmart, at Amazon, whatever their price is, price it 50 cents to a dollar below their price. That's how we operate at Buckets Grocery Store. So it's a matter of knowing and not knowing is what kills black business. Another thing is dealing with real estate. If you don't own the real estate, one, or you're not located in a good location, if you're paying rent, you better have a great location. But if you're paying rent and you don't have a good location, not owning it and not having a good location is going to be another factor that's going to kill you, especially if you're not buying your product right on top of that. Those things right there is a recipe for disaster. And these are things that with your video, that the documentary that you're doing, if you included that in there, and if we work together, you know, I could definitely be a help to you to really gather this information. But that would be a great tool to put out on the market. I mean, literally, brother, put that thing out there on the market like that. Everybody that look at that video is going to learn. They're going to learn just from that video how to survive in business. And then, you, especially if you got any kind of street sense or you come from a street background, you automatically know that just because you started this way don't mean you're going to end up that way. So you have to be able to, okay, I started out as a cap company and I wanted to do caps, but it looked like to me my t-shirts over here are moving greater than my caps. These caps are just not doing nothing, and I done sold and put sales on them. So you have to be able to shift gears in business to stay in business. You better know how to do that as well. So I just thought that I would share it with you, brother, because the documentary ideal is a great ideal, and it was, I'm over here like, wow, the thoughts are coming to my mind. I'm like, man, that would be a great ideal, you know, to expose to the people that's going to view the video how to stay in business, because there's a trade show for every industry. Every business that you interview, whatever industry there is, I'm pretty sure I done researched the trade show for it already. I don't care what it is.
So, we got to take one more break. This is Blacks in Business Radio. Join us back in just a second.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, welcome back to the last half hour of Blacks in Business Radio. Brother Robert was talking about trade shows. Keep going.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, because he's doing this documentary and doing these videos, interviews with these companies, you know, that documentary could be so instrumental to helping so many people. And see, we have to be more solution oriented than anything else with our information today, you know.
And let me say something real quick. Hold on, let me say something real quick. Now, with the documentary, yes, it would be very, very good information. But I've seen documentaries, and these documentaries have had these who's who in it, and you really don't know what they're doing. I mean, if you really scrutinize it, they're actually not making money. They're not millionaires. They're making money off of you in a very predatory type of way. They're not really providing a service. And I think that we need to really focus on, you know, people who are really doing the work, people who are really in business, people who have a track record, people who have a humanitarian sense about them. For instance, you know, of course, Brother Robert, he's every day, he's doing what he does at the flea market. He's doing what he does in real estate. Scotty, he's on the radio. I mean, he collects barely anything from anybody wanting to be on his network. I'm talking about organic things that are realistic. I'm not talking about these high and mighty people, and I'm not putting anybody down, but yes, I am. High and mighty people that you really don't know what they come from. They really have not shown you any track record of anything that they've done, and you just kind of like, it's just like, you know, kind of going to church. It's just like, it's like invisible. You don't know what the heck is going on. But they're giving you a good word and some information, and you just riding with it. We need to do documentaries, and we need to focus on stories of people that are really getting their hands dirty. I mean, seriously, that's what I wanted to say.
Right. Because a lot of times, you know, people just want to see big names. People flock to the big names, you know, the Umars and these type of people. And it, you know, I mean, they have something to offer. They have an audience. Everybody has an audience, you know. But our people need a right now type of solution. They need something that they can really say, man, I can do that right now. I can literally do that,
right.
You know. And I always said, you know, if you got $20 in your pocket, you hang with me for one day, I guarantee you I can show you how to make that $20 turn into $100. And I ain't talking about a week from now, I'm talking about today. I can tell you what to do, where to go. If you had a dollar in your pocket, I can tell you how to make that dollar turn into $30, $40, $100. Just depending on how hard your hustle is and your drive is. But your reality can change instantly, and it doesn't require you have a whole lot of money. You may have an ideal, but sales, I have to say, if you got an ideal and you ain't got no money, and your ideal may not be pertaining to sales, well, you got to be able to be multi-talented. Okay, so the fastest way that I know is to sell a service or sell a product to get some money. Sell a service or sell a product. You know, that's the fastest way I know. And you have to become the best salesperson to do it. You just have to become that person. And you can take little or nothing and make something out of it right away. If you just set your mind to it, it's not that hard to do. And it's a no-brainer. It's just a matter of finding what people need and selling it.
And you are absolutely right. And so you have taken us into the last portion of our show. And you all both can chime in on this, but Entrepreneur Magazine or Entrepreneur.com, I should say, we talked about this yesterday, and we are always looking for things for you all to embark upon, you know, especially those on a job that want to get off the job. There's so many things that you can do as an entrepreneur. I mean, you really can. But I got this article the other day. It was written December 26, 2017. It was last year, but not really last year. It was last week. So it says 50 work from home jobs paying as much or a lot more than the average American salary. And that's where you want to be above, because a lot of people are afraid of losing their salary, their benefits, and all this other stuff. But I would say to you, you know, you need to start doing something, because there's certain jobs that are going away. I mean, you've seen it right before your eyes. So start something. So this article talks about that, and it says there was a time when working from home was a pipe dream. Thanks to technology like Slack, there's been a surge of legit jobs you can do from home, whether that's working remotely for a company or starting your own business. there's no shortage of work-at-home opportunities. Here are 50 work-at-home jobs that most make above the average American salary. And again, that's where you want to be, okay? You could be an affiliate marketer. For those unfamiliar with affiliate marketing, it's simply referral marketing where you earn a commission. Let's say that you have a website and refer a book on Amazon. When the visitor clicks the affiliate link and buys the books, Amazon will pay you a percentage of the sale. I mean, all you have to do is get a website, and you can build your own one-page website on like Wix.com. And if you're balling like that, you can call GoDaddy and they'll do it all for you. Or if you want to buy Black, you can also reach out to Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio Network. Go to blacktalkmediaproject.org. He can build you a site and he can help you do your affiliate marketing. So for those of you that didn't understand, all it is you get a website and you connect with like Amazon. And when anybody clicks on that link that you're supporting on your site, you're going to make money. It's not like $1 million, but suppose you support a few things on your website. What if you have a website that's just dedicated to affiliate marketing? We're going to put this article on Blacks in Business Radio. Okay, the next thing would be an animator. Are you an artistic and creative individual who is able to create animation and visual effects for television, movies, video games, and other types of media? Then you can work at home as a freelance animator. I've seen animators make between $25 to $106 an hour on sites like Upwork. Number three, you could be a baker, caterer, or chef. Now, this is something Stefan was talking about. You know, he's going to go to Sweetheart because he wants to learn how to cook organic food. So maybe later on he'll be an organic chef or a YouTube sensation making organic food, chickpea pie. I don't know. But you could be a baker, chef, or caterer. If you have a knack for baking or cooking, then turn your passion into a side business. From your own kitchen, you could start a catering or personal chef business. If you're a baker, you could sell your goods to friends, neighbors online, or at the farmer's market. Again, you can go on YouTube and show people how to make things. There's a chef that I follow on YouTube. His name is Ty, Chef Ty, and he patterns himself after the late, great, wonderful Dr. Sabi in his recipes. He loves to show people how to make those things. I think Robert and I, like last week, we saw him make hot dogs. I mean, that was very interesting because, of course, it wasn't really hot dogs. But, yeah, it kind of looked like hot dogs when he was done with it. But, yeah. So you could be a blogger. Blogging is inexpensive and easy to start. It could be as simple as you just writing about your favorite music or food. Eventually, this hobby can start generating some money for you. You can also vlog. They don't have a vlog. That's video blogging, of course. Just record yourself talking about whatever it is that you want to talk about, okay? And then you could be a bookkeeper. And it says, believe it or not, you don't have to be a CPA to start bookkeeping. Just sign up for a bookkeeping course at a community college or even online, such as this course from the Accounting Coach. So that's something you can click on, the Accounting Coach. And they say you can make up to $70,000 a year by being a bookkeeper. Child caregiver. You could be a daycare provider. Of course, you need to find out what your state and city regulations are concerning watching other people's children, because that is a very delicate occupation. I know I come from that. So you don't want to just warehouse children. You definitely want to be providing the best nurturing environment for them so that you can be that village helping to raise that child. Okay. Clinical research coordinator. As noted in Business Insider, this is where you assist in the management of daily clinical trial operations, provide oversight of all organizations, clinical site and vendor activities, and manage trial master files. You can make over $48,000 and you don't need a bachelor's degree. Consulting. Now, Robert and I both do this, consulting. I mean, you don't have to be some degreed up person. You just have to have some experience and know what you're talking about to be a consultant. Now, I see a lot of people, they consulting on some things they don't even know about, but that's a whole nother story. So if you have experience and knowledge in a specific area, then share it with others. For example, if you're an accountant or lawyer, then you can provide advice to small businesses for a pretty penny. Shout out to Connie. Connie is a very wonderful consultant. She's an attorney in Alabama, and she helped me on one of my projects, and she was actually on our show a few shows ago. She's a wonderful consultant. You could also consult businesses on how to use a new software program or how to become more environmentally friendly. Let's see. You could be a customer service rep. Do you possess excellent communication skills? Do you also have a landline and reliable internet? Then you can earn between $8 to $15 an hour as a customer service rep. Let's see. Data entry. Inputting data for businesses isn't the most exciting job, but however, you don't need any previous experience and you can start at $10 an hour. Direct sales. That's us. We do Avon. Robert and I both are Avon representatives. So you could get into direct sales with us if you'd like to reach out to us. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Avon has been in the sales industry for over 130 years, and they have some wonderful products that are still very relevant. You could have your own e-commerce store like Shopify, Magento, or WooCommerce. Editing and proofreading. Companies like Book in a Box pay $20 per hour to editors, book jacket designers, or proofreaders. You could be an event planner. You know what that is. Film and podcast instructional videos. Are you really good at something? Then create a YouTube account and start filming yourself instructing others with your unique skills. Okay, that's wonderful. Grant writing. I think that takes a little bit of skill. I actually took a grant writing class. I got an A. I'm not really comfortable in consulting anybody with that right now, but your public library sometimes offers free grant writing information also. Get into, you know, looking up the information in the library, because you can definitely become a skilled grant writer. I mean, all it is some trial and error. You can make it happen. Graphic designer, you know what that is. Handmade crafter, it's making things with your hands, of course. Instructor, that kind of goes back with the YouTube stuff they were talking about. Internet security specialist, let's see, online juror, online teacher, patent or intellectual property lawyer, peer-to-peer lender. Now, that's something I was attempting to do a couple months back. So basically what you can do is you can be an investor for someone wanting to embark on a new career. You could just be the lender and collect the interest off of that. You could be a pet groomer. You could be a mobile pet groomer also. You could dress up a old milk truck and, you know, put some sinks in there and be a pet groomer. Go to people's homes and you know, do what you need to do. A photographer or videographer. Is it videographer? I think it's videographer. Okay. A product reviewer. That's something that goes along with affiliate marketing. A programmer, a realtor, a renter. You could rent out the extra bedroom in your house. I don't know if you want to do that. But we talked about, I think we talked about the foreign exchange opportunity. If you want to know about the foreign exchange opportunity, reach out to us. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. I will definitely hook you up with that information. That is a great moneymaker. You can be a repairer if you like to fix things around the house, if you like tools, if you like Robert. Robert loves tools. He loves them. He lives for tools. He dreams about them. So, I mean, he is just the fixer of all things. We call him Bob the Builder. So if you like to repair things like Robert, you could definitely become a repairer. You know, for somebody like me, I mean, I have a box that's been sitting in here for like, what, 3 weeks now? And that's because I don't fix things. That's just not me. I will call somebody in a heartbeat and pay them to fix my stuff. So there are people like me out there that need people like you out there that like to fix things, okay? Short tasks. Let's see. It's kind of like a personalist. No, it's like taking surveys or watching videos for a company, like a review thing. Social media manager. We know that that's just like helping people with their social media. They don't have time to do it. You can be a stylist, help people with their clothing, be a survey taker, tax preparer, become an expert. Become an expert in what? I don't know what that means. Telephone nurse, a transcriber, a translator, a travel agent, a virtual assistant. That's what I do. Virtual public relation rep. Virtual recruiter, virtual tutor. Oh my gosh, there's so many, you guys. I mean, it goes on and on down to number 50. So what we're going to do is make sure that we post this on Blacks in Business Radio so that you can definitely look into some of these things, because even in 2018, we know that there's people looking to do something new. Me personally, I'm looking to do something old that I should have been doing a long time ago. So for those of you out there that are looking for something to get started with, reach out to us, join us on Facebook, come see us live, consult with us. We are definitely looking forward to talking with you. But as we are coming to a close in this show, let's see, Stefan, have you got contact information if people want to reach out to you because they would like for you to come to their business? How would they reach out to you?
They can reach me on our Facebook page, which is a public group, and anyone can actually post to that page. It's called The Black Wall Street Challenge. Or they can get with me on our Instagram page, which is Black Wall Street Challenge on Instagram. So one of those two outlets would be the best.
Okay. Well, you all make sure you join with him, follow him, see what he's doing, because as time goes on, I have a feeling he will be making some great connections and you will see him blow up. I mean, I'm hoping he makes this business documentary. And yeah, of course, we could be in the business documentary, but, you know, just a black business documentary where he goes around the country, maybe even around the world, talking to different black businesses and organically talking about what it is that they do. Kind of like when you watch The Prophet on TV, you see him digging at people's business. I hope we can see him do that, too. Brother Robert, what last words do you have for the people?
Keep supporting black business. Suggest to your pastors and the church that they announce, you know, to the congregation that they need to support black business. Definitely come down to 2505 Chambers Road, Grand Slam Indoor Marketplace, and support us, BIB, Blacks in Business. Keep it positive, y'all. It's 2018. Let's put our money where our mouth is, and let's make this thing a better reality for black people financially. Let's be more financially responsible this year.
Absolutely. I agree. We definitely need to be more financially responsible, and we want to definitely take the challenge. Even online, if you see a black business online, reach out, support them, buy your shea butter, cocoa butter, your oils, your whatever it is that you're talking about. We got lots of black people online whipping it up, your natural hair care products, your clothing, your shoes. I mean, support their YouTube channels, shop black. I mean, Stefan was saying, you can't buy everything black, but the things that you can buy black, you definitely should be trying to do that. And, you know, this doesn't need to be some kind of rhetoric or whatever. This is a way of life. This is what we need to be doing, you know, and there's a lot of people doing it. And you should be one of them. Support your people. Support blacktalkmediaproject.org and support BTR Network. It definitely goes beyond Facebook because it deals with us and our issues, and we will not be censored. You will not be put in Facebook jail or BTR jail. Make sure you support blacktalkradionetwork.org. Okay, we'll be here next week, same time, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. This has been Blacks in Business Radio, the first show of the year. Thank you for listening. Reach out to us soon. Have a good night.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on, brother. Bye.